Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for our friend Irene Asheray, wishing her all kinds of blessings this Hanukkah. I want this to be the best year ever for all the friends and family of our favorite rabbis, Greenberg and Potasnik, and we all want this to be the best year ever for all our loyal listeners worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into joycebarryandfriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner, and then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Welcome to our special show today. As we celebrate the Festival of Lights, let us strive to light up the world and light up our lives. We must have faith for a brighter world and hope for the best for humankind. Let us pray for inner peace and world peace. To guide us and inspire us, we are honored and blessed to have Rabbi Joseph Potasnik and Rabbi Eric Greenberg to appreciate and celebrate Hanukkah. This special show is for people of all faiths. You don't have to be Jewish. And Hanukkah is also the holiday of the miracles. And I have to say, it is a miracle to have with us today Rabbi Joseph Potasnik, who will start us off. He is the Executive Vice President of the New York Board of Rabbis, and we always love when he makes time to be on our special show. Welcome, Rabbi Potasnik.
Thank you so much, and now that this is the best year ever, as I mentioned to you before, I have nothing to look forward to, because this will be the best year. But I thank you for the good wish. But I know you always say every year should be the best year. Joyce, it's a wonderful time of year, and I tell you, you look at the newspapers, it's easy to become depressed. But when you walk around the streets of New York, and I'm sure it's true where you live, and you see people celebrating their respective traditions without conflict, without confrontation, you realize we are very privileged to live in a pluralistic society. I can walk down the street, I can celebrate my particular holiday. The other person can celebrate his or her particular holiday, and we can respect each other. I always feel we have to have reverence for our own and respect for the other. This time of year highlights that spirit.
And we have to look wherever we can, under every nook and cranny, because there's so much going on in the world that's depressing and distressing, that every bit of hope that we can glean for peace and inner peace is a mitzvah.
Well, let me just tell you this. I was at FDNY, Fire Department of New York headquarters, last night, where we have a Hanukkah lighted ceremony. And I mentioned to the people there that there's an interesting quotation, a beautiful quotation, attributed to someone named William Arthur Ward. And he said the following, that feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a gift and not presenting it. That there are people who speak of gratitude, but they speak of it to themselves and not to others. At FDNY last night, we as the Jewish community came forward and said to the firefighters, thank you. Thank you for so much that you do every day of your lives to save our lives. Let me give you two examples. 2 weeks ago, and Rabbi Greenberg knows, there was a tragic fire in Brooklyn that destroyed a synagogue. It happened to be an Ethiopian congregation. Those firefighters, all of whom were Christian, raced into that building to save Torahs. The people were out, but the Torahs were still in there. Imagine Christians ready to give up their lives to save Torahs that belong to the Jewish people. A few days ago, we suffered a tragic, horrific fire in New York. The Azan family lost four people, and three remaining members of the family are fighting for their lives as we speak. Firefighters rushed in 3 a.m. into a burning home to try to rescue as many people as possible. And they rescued the three. They couldn't rescue the others. But just imagine, here you are. You want to celebrate your holiday. At the same time, you're ready to give up your life so somebody else can live and celebrate his or her holiday. Those are human miracles. It's very nice that we talk about the miracles of the past. We talk about the Maccabees and their bravery, but what about the Maccabees of today? What about the people in Israel? What about the people who are in Iraq and Afghanistan on the front lines who are fighting for freedom? We need to make sure that we say thank you to all of those. And Hanukkah is a wonderful time when we can express those feelings of true appreciation for the many people who brighten our lives. It's very easy to become dejected, as you said, but I think religious tradition reminds us that you have to increase the light in the world. You have to look for the bright spots. And when I see the number of people who volunteer at the various programs that Rabbi Greenberg this past week will talk about, a moment he shared with others and being with the needy and helping them. We just spoke to a couple that gave their time for the developmentally disabled, a Hanukkah party there. These were people who were discarded years ago. They were inferior, supposedly. They didn't count. They were less than equal. And these people made sure that there was a Hanukkah celebration. They were part of it. So you got to really make an effort to look around, because there are many places where those candles burn brightly within and without.
Rabbi, I just got to say I was extremely moved with those two stories with the firemen, but I have to ask you, were those fires accidental fires, or do you know if they were deliberately set?
They caused a fire for the synagogue. It was an old building. Some people were doing some welding on the roof, and an accident occurred. And by the way, this is not the first time that people have been doing work on a roof of a building and there's been a fire. So that's a dangerous kind of labor, and we've paid a price for it. But the one in the home where people lost their lives, that was because of a menorah. It was left unattended. And every year we stress the fact that sacred space has to be safe space, that you can't leave menorahs unattended. You can't leave menorahs near combustibles. You know, you leave it near a curtain or near a wooden cupboard, and you walk away and you go fall asleep. You expose yourself to some dangerous consequences. And here, a family paid the ultimate price.
Wow.
You know, the story is just horrific. A father running into the back into the house after he jumped out of the window, running back into the house to save his kids, and I think he was able to save one. We don't want those tragedies. We got to prevent those tragedies, and we keep stressing you need smoke detectors, and you need to make sure that, and by the way, it's not just about a menorah, whether it's a Christmas tree, anytime you're dealing with lights, anytime you're dealing with electricity, your oil, whatever you're doing, you got to make sure that you take all the precautionary measures to prevent tragedy. Here, unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
That's why we grew up in a home where we never went to sleep with the candles burning. So what we did, you're not going to snuff them out, obviously, to ruin the tradition, but we started using the electric candles. That's what we did. I know it's not the same thing, but I wouldn't go to sleep with candles burning.
Well, I tell you something. I was talking with a rabbi this morning, a very Orthodox rabbi, and I said, Rabbi, I remember studying the laws of Hanukkah. They have to burn for 30 minutes. After the 30 minutes, I think it's permissible to blow them out because you're talking about human life. There's nothing more precious,
right,
we believe. And therefore, blow them out or you know, arrange a schedule for people has to stay up and watch them. Put them in a sink. Do whatever you have to do, but don't leave them unattended. Just imagine. And by the way, 2 years earlier, this was the Azan family this time. 2 years earlier, the Sassoon family lost seven children. Seven children in one family all perished because of the Sabbath plate, the hot plate that was left on the entire time. Faulty wiring. Fire took place. Seven children died. You know, we all want to celebrate our holidays, but they have to be celebrated safely. And we can't take risks in the interest of, you know, preserving a holiday message. What good is it now? You know, this family will never be able to celebrate Hanukkah. They're dead. The other family will never be able to celebrate Sabbath. They're dead. We need to.
Would it be considered less sacred because it's not actual fire and putting one light at a time, the electric bulbs that I referenced? Is that less sacred?
Well, people, look, electric bulbs, I got to tell you, are usually the backup plan. For example, in hospitals, you can't have candles in hospital rooms.
Obviously. Right.
So you have electric lights. Where you have an opportunity to use candles, that resembles, you know, you're reenacting the story of Hanukkah with the oil. So people like to be as closest possible to the original story, so they light, you know, the candle. Some use the oil because they say that's the actual story. So look, electric lights are not the first choice, but you know what? if you're worried about whether you're going to live or not, then do everything to live. So that's the
better safe than sorry.
You know, look at these guys were crying. I mean, I saw firefighters last night who responded to the scene, who they had tears in their eyes during our lighting of the ceremony because they know they walked in, they saw dead children. Now, that impacts you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
We get them. By the way, let me tell you what FDNY does. There are instructions that are sent out to different communities. We have them in Yiddish. We have them in Hebrew. We have them in so many different languages because you have a diverse community. But yet, unfortunately, there are some people who say it won't happen here. And it did happen here.
Rabbi, I would appreciate if you share the story of the miracle of Hanukkah, because I love miracles, and that's one of my favorites, and it's such a special story. Would you be kind enough to share that?
Well, you know, you have a very, very basic story of the Syrian Greeks who refused to allow the Jews to practice their religion, 168 before the Common Era. And the Jews fought back. They said, no, we're going to practice our faith. We're not going to allow others to impose their will. So the Syrian Greeks had desecrated the temple. Jews refused to give up hope. They searched. They found a little bit of oil. They thought it was going to last for one day. It lasted for 8 days. And, of course, as people will tell you, the miracle is 8 days, even though there was enough oil for one day, because of the fact that they bothered to search, the fact they didn't give up, the fact they didn't walk away and say, we're finished, that's a miracle too. There's an important Jewish law that I think people should recognize. If I'm walking, for example, on the beach, and I have a ring on my finger, and I take the ring off, and I'm tossing in the air and catching it, and suddenly I lose the ring. I lose the ring. I can't find it. Jewish law raises the question, if somebody else finds the ring, does that person have a right to keep it? You know, do we say finders, keepers? And Jewish law is very, very exact in its message. As long as I don't give up hope of finding the ring, as long as I say I'm going to find it or someone's going to return it to me, the ring is still mine. If I say I'll never find it, it's lost for good, the ring belongs to someone else. What does that mean? That you pay a penalty when you give up hope. So that, you know, the national anthem of Israel, Hatikva, means hope. We find the word hope so many times in our tradition. The story of Hanukkah is a real message of hope and honor, that we searched and we said we're going to honor our tradition. We're not going to allow someone else to define who we are. And I think that's a great message. Individual integrity. Every holiday has its particular character, and we don't have to resemble what somebody else does. You know, I see now we have this Chrismukah, or all these other variations where they dilute or try to combine the two. Hanukkah is Hanukkah, Christmas is Christmas. We don't have to, synthesize them into one holiday. So I think that's the message of Hanukkah. Be who you are. Be an original. Don't be an imitation. And it's
hand
a great time.
Hand in hand with hope is faith. The two go very much together, to always keep the faith.
Look, we're prisoners of hope. We're prisoners of faith, and the same prisoner in a positive way. We never give up. The fact that we are here today after all that we endured over the years says much about our commitment to live and to help live. Not just let live, but help live. So I think we should be very proud that the message of Hanukkah is one that resonates with all people. Look, Christians, look at what's going on with persecuted Christians in different parts of the world. Hanukkah says you have a right to practice your Christianity. You don't have to practice someone else's faith. You can be, a Christian and be able to walk proudly and publicly. Unfortunately, in some parts of our world, there are those who won't permit that. But Hanukkah message is, we may call it a minor holiday. It's a minor holiday with a major message for all faiths.
And would you talk a little bit about the Maccabees, because they were the most inspiring and powerful, who never gave up.
The word courage, we speak of different kinds of courage, physical courage and spiritual courage. Matter of fact, each day when we get up, we talk about different kinds of strength, very similar, physical strength and spiritual strength. They possessed both. They fought back. They were proud Jews. Unfortunately, I see people who are afraid to proclaim their Jewishness publicly. They're afraid to talk about, being a Jew, because they feel somehow they're going to fall in disfavor with other people. The Maccabees said, you're not going to respect us anymore if we respect ourselves less. So these were people, these were leaders of the Jewish community who said that we will be Jews. And, there were the Jews who wanted to give in and said, we'll adopt a lot of the Greek customs. We'll become like what we call Hellenists. And they said, no, you won't. We won't. Judaism was made for us, and we're going to perpetuate it. Look, I have read stories that even in the Holocaust, in places like Bergen-Belsen, in places like Dachau, people secretly lit Hanukkah candles. Can you imagine? Here you were, not knowing if you're going to live the day, and yet you said, I'm going to light Hanukkah candles. I am not going to let them destroy my Judaism. So the spirit of the Maccabees continues each and every day with those who walk tall, stand tall, proudly as Jews. And that's something that we have to convey to young people, especially in America. You can be a Jew in America and you can make it. I always find that people running for political office very often will only want to demonstrate that they have a Jew in their ancestry. So we should not in any way camouflage our identity. Be proud. Jews have a great
story
to tell.
And the other thing, Rabbi, Jerusalem is very much in the news since President Trump declared it the capital of Israel, and Jerusalem is very connected to the Hanukkah story. You want to explain how that connection exists?
Yeah, look, the Israeli ambassador said the other day that those who criticize the decision to proclaim Israel as a capital, and by the way, it's not just an American president who proclaimed Israel. We've been proclaiming Israel as a capital for 2,000 years. So this was a formal declaration by the administration. We're very thankful for it.
Yes, that's true.
You know, I say to people, whether you like the president, don't like the president, you can give credit when he does something that you like. So he did something which I think, you know, it is a public statement of who we are. Where everybody has a capital. Why do Jews have to hide their capital? Why do we have to say, let's wait till the Palestinians come forward to negotiate, then we'll have a capital? You know, we have a capital, and it doesn't any way deter Palestinians from negotiating. The president spoke of a capital, and he spoke of West Jerusalem. East Jerusalem, I'm sure, will be the subject of the discussion as to a possible Palestinian capital. But why can't Jews have it? If you want to read, if you want to see a modern-day Maccabee, listen to the speech that Ambassador Nikki Haley gave at the Security Council when she spoke of the right of a sovereign nation to have a capital. It was inspiring. And I don't know what we gain by we just keep, you know, having this kind of dilatory attitude. Well, let's not do it yet. Not yet. How many more years do you have to wait? How many years have we been waiting and saying next year in Jerusalem? You know, I think next year is now this year in our capital. So I'm thankful the president did it. And I would hope that the Palestinians recognize that they still have an opportunity to negotiate. But stop with the, you know, this is going to destroy the peace process. This peace process hasn't moved long before this was done. So if there's going to be a peace process, it takes Palestinians coming forward, sitting at a table and negotiating. But I think we should be proud that we have a capital called Jerusalem, which is biblical, which is historical, which is our capital, and I think they have to deal with reality. At some point, you have to recognize the realities of the day and stop, you know, creating a new set of facts that just don't comport with the realities.
But besides the Palestinians, what's very scary and sad is even our allies are saying it wasn't the right thing to do. In Europe, they're saying, why do they butt in? They don't butt into other countries when they make their decisions. When it comes to Israel, there's so much negativity. There's so much anti-Semitism. When will that ever stop?
Well, I don't have an answer to that, but I can tell you, Ben-Gurion said years ago, it's not what they say about the Jews, it's what the Jews will do about, you know, being Jews. So they're gonna harbor their feelings. We may not be able to change them, but they shouldn't change us. So I think this is a time to stand tall and proud and be a modern-day Maccabee and say, you know, we can look at Jerusalem as our capital and say thank you to the administration, to the president, who fulfilled a campaign promise. And whatever the reason, who cares why he did it? Some say he did it for the evangelicals. Doesn't matter. What matters is this is something we've been waiting for a long time. Finally, it's getting done. And now let's move on. And let's hope for the, you know, we pray for peace. We don't just pray for the welfare of Jerusalem in our prayers. The psalmist said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We also pray for peace all the time. And we know that peace will be incomplete unless we resolve the Palestinian issue in the Middle East. So, you know, let's see a real peace process taking place with people who are realistic about a lasting peace, not people who are creating a new non-reality, a fictional account, and then we go nowhere.
Rabbi, what's your favorite part about Hanukkah?
Waiting for Rabbi Greenberg to give me gifts.
I have to say it's the latkes.
they're on their way.
Yeah, I think what's nice about Hanukkah are the human miracles. What's nice about are the people like Rabbi Greenberg and yourself who, in your own way, contribute to bringing more light into the world. The world can be a very dark, difficult place, but every so often you're heartened by the fact that there are people who, you know, bring a smile and bring some compassionate gesture. You know, I think one of the words that I'd like to create in our language is charity. You know, we talk about charity, but charity. People who share, they give gifts, but they share some of the gifts with others who don't have. I think every holiday we have to make sure that before you sit down and celebrate, whatever the occasion is, make sure you provide it for another person to celebrate. You do that. Rabbi Greenberg does, and so many other good people. You know, that gutzkeit my father would talk about. The fact that we have goodness in our world, let's be thankful for that. That, to me, is the greatness of Hanukkah. It just inspires people to do more. There's a saying, mitzvah laharbo l'oro. It's a great mitzvah to increase light in the world. And when you look around and you see the people who care and stand with us, even though there are many who stand against us, I think we should be very proud of our people.
There was a villain of Hanukkah, Adiochus. I've read that, but I never saw an explanation of what was that about.
Well, he was one of these wicked people who wouldn't, he couldn't countenance Jews being Jews. You know, you talked before, look, I talk about persecuted Christians. What is the threat if Christians want to be Christians? How does that threaten anybody's existence if Jews want to be Jews? Why do people get so, they feel, you know, the need to defend who they are by attacking who someone else is? It's just not, you know, it's so wrong. It's so morally reprehensible. And yet you have these villains in the world who look to vitiate someone else's faith. They think that's going to enhance theirs. You know, somehow, if there's Judaism or Christianity, it's going to somehow threaten Islam. The fact is, we're very blessed that there are people who believe we can all live together. You know, I was telling someone recently, when you look in the Bible, one of the concerns of the Jewish people as they were traveling to the Promised Land is, if we don't get there, what are they going to say? I mean, and I find we live with that sickness. We live with that obsession. What are they going to say? Instead of what do we say about ourselves? What do we do with who we are? What are they going to say about us? I think we got to worry less about them and work more to being, you know, a strong people with faith and with hope and with honor. And we'll find ourselves in a better place. And ultimately, I find people begin to accept you for who you are when you're comfortable with who you are. So,
absolutely. What is your message for our audience today? What message do you want to leave our audience?
Before we put away the menorah, just look when those candles are burning. There's one candle stands taller than all the others that brings light to the other candles. Interestingly, when you bring light to others, you stand tall, right? You stand a little bit taller when you help others. And also, when you light other candles, it doesn't diminish the integrity of that candle. You can light other candles and still maintain your own identity. And I think that's the message of the year, that we Jews and Christians and Muslims and people of all different faiths, we can stand tall, we can bring light into the lives of others, and also we can maintain love for our own people. If that will be the spirit, I think it will truly be a joyous Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever celebration you have, it will be much more joyful. I thank you.
Great message. And Rabbi, what prayer do you have for all of us today?
What prayer do I have? Well, let me leave you with a story, which will, I guess, go into the prayer. I received a gift from the White House, and I get this quite often. Actually, almost each year, I get an ornament that says, "This is for your Christmas tree." It's a White House ornament for the Christmas tree. I don't have a Christmas tree, obviously. So this year I happened to call Cardinal Dolan. I said, "Do you have a White House ornament on your Christmas tree?" He said, "No, I don't." I said, "You do now. I'm going to give you one." I said, "And Cardinal, let this be a lesson. Only in New York, for a cardinal to have an ornament on his Christmas tree, do you need a rabbi to give it to him?" So I think all of us recognize we can give to each other, and we can also give to our own. And let's continue giving and living, and may this be a blessed, blessed Hanukkah, Christmas. May every day, as you say in your opening, may this be your best day, your best year. May you be your best. Thank you so much.
Wait, amen. Rabbi, before you jump off, I'm going to ask you for one last thing, and that is for you to introduce Rabbi Greenberg, because whenever I introduce him, he says it's too long, and it's like three sentences out of a four-page single-space bio, so I'd like you to introduce him.
What's his name again? Greenberg?
Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
Look, it's interesting. You can bring Rabbi Eric Greenberg to any event where people of different faiths come together, and he's comfortable. He can communicate with all the different representatives of faiths, and I find that's a great blessing that you can speak to. You know, you can speak to people who don't share your tradition, but yet you can speak to them in a way which is meaningful for them, and at the same time, you can, you know, stand tall as to who you are. So he's a good Jew, and he's a great ecumenicist. He's one who can he's a person of faith who is comfortable with all faiths. Rabbi Eric Greenberg.
Thank you, Rabbi Podesnik.
And Rabbi, thank you so much for making time from your busy, crazy schedule to be with us. I want you much more often, and I think you are fabulous.
Thank you so much, and who am I to disagree with you know, someone so wise as you? All right, I'll talk to you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
In one moment, folks, we're bringing on Rabbi Eric Greenberg. He was introduced to me through Rabbi Podesnik. But first, I want to share this poem in the words of Beverly Nazar, our health guru, on why you should be listening to our show every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to our homepage at joycebarryandfriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and right on the upper left is my picture, and right under that it says follow. And simply by clicking on that, you need not miss any show, any guest, any topic, because you will be apprised in an email of our shows. For example, we have world-renowned psychic psychic, Peter Marks. He has the show on Friday where you can call in and have your questions answered or your concerns in a mini reading on air free. He's world-renowned psychic to the celebrities. So you'll know about that simply by becoming a follower. He is a regular every month, but every month the date changes. So you don't want to miss any of his shows with the opportunity to get your questions answered. Okay, the fabulous Rabbi Eric Greenberg, you're a pleasure, and we love having you on the show. And to you, I say, too, we want you much more often.
Thank you, Joyce. And I, from now on, I think you should do the introduction for me. I love what Rabbi Potasnik said, but you could read more if you want. It's okay.
4 pages, single space. When I looked you up,
4 pages will be the whole time, so you don't have to do that.
Right, I know that. So I take 6 sentences, and you said it was way too much.
No, I was just trying to be humble. It's okay. It's
Who was it? Golda Meir said, "Don't be humble. You don't have to be humble. You're not that great." I think that was Golda Meir.
Very well could be, yes.
Okay, so take it away, this Festival of Lights, this wonderful Hanukkah as it comes to a close. What would you like to share with our audience today?
Well, you know, Joe, Rabbi Potasnik touched on many important things. This is there was times of tragedy the last few days. In fact, this is a part of Brooklyn you're probably familiar with. The family that suffered this horrible tragedy, Avenue S and East 14th Street. So I know you're familiar with that.
Oh,
that
my
area.
God. I
yeah.
lived on Avenue T and East 18th Street is where I grew up.
Yep. So it's one of those
walking distance.
Yep. And it's, you know, so there's the tragedy that we deal with. And I think what Rabbi Joe said is extremely important, what you talked about a few minutes ago, the idea of a sacred space having to be safe space. And, you know, the concept in Judaism of pikuach nefesh, of saving a life, is an all-powerful guideline for how we operate. And we have to prevent these kind of tragedies. And so that's, you know, that's included in all our happiness and Chag Sameach and wishing a happy Hanukkah and a joyous, you know, Festival of Lights. This year, it was the lights were dimmed a little bit because of this horrible tragedy. Yet on the other side, what Rabbi Potasnik alluded to is the incredible small acts of kindness and large from the firefighters who ran into the building and a couple of weeks ago saved the Torahs and then tried to save some of the children this week, to other acts of kindness. And each one, and this is the lesson of Hanukkah, each one brings light into the world, and there is no irrelevant act of kindness, of compassion to a person, to a fellow human being, that doesn't increase the light. I was privileged to go to several events with Rabbi Potasnik and representing the Board of Rabbis the past week and a half, past 8 days. And just the small act of kindness of going to a senior citizen home on the Lower East Side and spending a couple of hours helping to feed the seniors, and they lit the candles, and we served them meals and latkes, and how appreciative they were. This is just something that is a small thing for me, in the sense of here I am going there and able to do this, but with my colleagues from other Jewish organizations, we work together to do this, and this is just a wonderful way for the Jewish community to come together at this time of year. The other side of it is the coming together with other faith groups. As Rabbi Joe said a little earlier, we were at various events where with Catholics and Muslims and they all wishing the Jewish people a happy Hanukkah, and of course Christmas is here in what, 3 days. And we will do the same. We respect their holiday. We wish them well and happiness for it, and they do for us. And this is only in America, you know.
Which reminds me of the relationship the two of you have with Father Brian. Christmas 5 days, the 25th, and he is going to give us an hour Christmas show on Christmas Day, and I think that's pretty extraordinary. He does it every year.
Father Brian is terrific. He was on Facebook the last couple of days. I've followed him. He has been at a mosque yesterday, I think, celebrating. He's been at the New York Board of Rabbis celebrating a few days ago, Hanukkah, and he's a gem. He's one of the wonderful interfaith ecumenical leaders who help bring more light to all of us and make us all feel like while we have our own faiths and our own holidays, we still are our one community.
And on his Facebook page, you will see him shaking hands with the Pope. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yes, yes, it is. It's and that's an amazing thing. If you think about where we are in 2017, even as the UFOs are, you know, circling around the planet somewhere, according to the latest reports, here we have only 50 years ago, or even 25 years ago. Who would have thought that a group of rabbis would be in Rome lighting Hanukkah candle in the study of the of a cardinal who is the representative of the Vatican to the Jewish people. That would have been unthinkable 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Yet today, it's a wonderful event. It shows the closeness and the support that we show each other in the Catholic and Jewish relationship, and as well as other faith groups who are also supporting each other. And I think this is we look at the good side of what's happening, and this is just an incredible positive trajectory for humanity.
And we have to really not only relish that, appreciate that, show gratitude, because the more you give out of something, the more it comes back. Love, gratitude, thankfulness. So you really have to focus on that and try to stay away from all that negative energy, negative news. So very important to really recognize something as extraordinary as that.
Well, right, and you know, it's we live in a world now where we're talking about Jews and we're talking about Catholics, Christians, but you know, other faith groups who we are learning about more and more, and it's so important to, because here in America, that the Hindus, for instance, the Buddhists, the Sikhs, they all have traditions and winter traditions that. We should understand, learn about, and also show them the kind of respect and admiration for how they're contributing to our society, as we Jews have now been shown after being here for, you know, for a couple hundred years, right? We are now, it's taken for granted that there's, you know, there's Hanukkah, there's celebrations, public, as Rabbi Potasnik said, there's several public candle lighting. I don't know if there's is anything down by you. Do they do a menorah in the, you know, light one in the public square?
Yeah, we have a temple nearby. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, so this is something that's routine now, and I think we need to show our brothers and sisters of other faiths that, you know, they too we welcome their particular tradition for them, and they are part of our society.
Well, Father Brian and Rabbi Joe call themselves brothers in faith, and I know that the rabbi goes to Christmas on Christmas Eve, the 12 o'clock Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral. I know he does that, and I know that Father Brian goes to Passover services and stuff like that. I just would love to see so much more of that.
Yeah, yeah, that's, and by the way, brothers and sisters in faith, I think we need to... we need to include the other 50% of our population.
Well, I was referring specifically to their relationship. The two of them, they call themselves brothers in faith.
Yeah, and I think
absolutely.
Right, and the
Christmas Eve thing, I did that one year myself. Something I'll never forget. Something I had always wanted to do. The midnight thing was a little difficult for me. I'm not a night person, but I was so taken with the thousands and thousands that filmed. Marched into that cathedral at midnight, and it was a beautiful service, and I love sharing the story. I think I'm the only Jew in here, and the man behind me tapped me on the shoulder. No, lady, I'm Jewish also, which you said that could have been Rabbi Joe.
right. You know, the other thing that we with what's going on in the world, there's, you know, and the attempt to distort the meanings of things these days with the terms fake news and all of that. This is a holiday, Hanukkah, that it's a very complicated holiday when you really, you know, dig deeper and peel the onion. There's several layers, but the one of the easier top layers is this story is about, as Rabbi Joe said, the religious liberty and the idea that each group should be able to pray and observe their faith the way they want. And this is, remember, 2,000 years ago, what's changed in the world? There are parts of the world today, exactly the same thing, that the leader of an empire or of a region, of a country, is threatened by the other and tries to prevent a group of people who have their faith traditions. They tries to prevent them from being who they are and observe how they do. And here the Jews, the Maccabees of the time. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but Judah Maccabee, he is a recognized military hero throughout history, and there's even a statue of him at West Point. I don't know if you or your listeners know about this.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here he was, took this small, you know, band of basically guerrilla fighters. And if you study, there are through the books of Maccabees, you can actually go through some of the battles. And there are some very good scholarly books now that sort of outline the battles that they fought and how they fought. A much bigger army, the Seleucid, which are commonly called the Syrian Greeks, they were well-funded, well-armed. And here is the Judah Maccabee with a much smaller group of basically farmers and people out in the, you know, in the hills who banded together to fight for their religious rights. And the lesson here is that it's happening today. And as we discussed a little earlier, the fight continues. And here we are, Jews and Catholics and others. I'm reminded of the Yazidis, the group of in the Syrian Iraq area who are being, there's a genocide against them, and the world has been, you know, silent. And several years ago, when they were being attacked and brutally, I remember President Obama who sent in a rescue team to help them, you know, to help them for that period of time. But that was a Band-Aid. This thing continues, and we need to access our own story, at least of the Maccabees and of Hanukkah, to apply it to other people today who are still being oppressed and persecuted.
And I agree with you. The sound of silence is deafening. I want to share my favorite piece about that. This is by Martin Niemöller. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
Very famous quote, yes.
Yeah, very famous. And Voltaire, every man I say, and woman, is guilty of all the good he did not do. And Edmund Burke, the last one, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing. Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could do only a little. So I do want to make that point, that everything matters.
Absolutely. Every act, positive act and show of kindness and good deed contributes to increasing the light and the warmth in the world, and it's incumbent upon all of us to do those.
Do you have a favorite thing as regards to Hanukkah?
Yeah, it's. I was just thinking about that. My favorite story, I think, is and something you'll appreciate too, because it involves Brooklyn. Several years back, I wrote an article, did some research, and wrote an article about Woody Guthrie, the great American folk singer. And I don't know how many people know this, but so here's Woody Guthrie, the author of such timeless classics, American classics, as "This Land Is Your Land."
Yes.
I
love that song.
Yeah, just one of great American hero, icon, and here he is a Midwestern a Midwestern Christian comes to New York, and meets a dancer from Philadelphia. The dancer is Jewish. They're at a party. And as it happens, love at first sight. They immediately, in fact, the dancer says to her friend who's at the party, "This is the man I'm going to marry and have his children." Now, both, by the way, are married at the time. Both Woody Guthrie and the dancer, whose name I'll remember in a moment. But yet they go ahead and they go ahead with their relationship. Woody Guthrie moves to Brooklyn, and she opens up a dance studio in Sheepshead Bay, part of Brooklyn. And he is writing his songs and doing his thing and traveling and playing music and all. And then he gets sick, so they're mostly in Brooklyn. They have some children, one of them being Arlo Guthrie, who I don't know if you're familiar with his name, but also became a famous folk singer, who wrote the song Alice's Restaurant, which has become a Thanksgiving a staple. But during the course of this relationship, she comes from an Orthodox Jewish home. The father rejected Woody Guthrie as not being a Jew in those days. This is the 40s. The mother accepts him. And teaches him about Judaism. And as Arlo Guthrie told me, Woody starts teaching himself and going through the books and learning about Judaism and the holidays and the observances. And long story short, he writes a bunch of songs about holiday songs, particularly about Hanukkah. They get put in a closet and lost for many years until they were rescued. And found in about 10-15 years ago, and they were put to music, and now they are, you can actually purchase them. There's a klezmer band, the Klezmatics, I believe they are, who put the songs and perform them, and you can now have Woody Guthrie, the great American folk, the Christian folk singer, who wrote a bunch of Hanukkah songs, and they are now available, because of this relationship that blossomed between him and his Orthodox Jewish mother-in-law.
I wonder if they're online or YouTube. I'd certainly like to hear that.
Oh, absolutely. You could go there on. You could go online to look for them. Just Woody Guthrie's Hanukkah songs. I imagine they would be on YouTube. They're available to buy, but not particularly plugging the CD, but the story of relationships one to one, accepting, understanding, building a relationship and a friendship between two people and what it can lead to. That's, I think, the wonderful story of these two people.
And you knew Woody Guthrie?
No. I didn't know him. He passed years ago. But the story, his daughter told me this story, and it's you might be able to look it up. But it's a wonderful.
Yeah, I will. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And what is the message you want to impact our audience with?
Well, as Hanukkah ends tonight and Christmas begins, I believe Sunday night, Christmas
Eve. The 25th.
Yeah.
Let me see what day of the week that is. I'll tell you in a moment. I know because I said Father Brian's going to be on air. The 25th is Monday. Monday the 25th is Christmas Day.
So that's Christmas Day.
Correct.
So Christmas Eve is Sunday night. Yes. So,
correct.
So as we depart the 8 days of Hanukkah, and of course we lit the 8 candles last night, and then move to Christmas, I think we need to keep the momentum going of being kind to each other, of being of increasing the light and the understanding and the respect, working together in these dark times to make sure that we give the right attention to our society's problems, to the poor, to the underprivileged, to the homeless, to those who need our help, as we also, you know, spend time with our families and devote our attention to them.
And, you know, we talk about the 8 gifts of Hanukkah. I'm just making a formal request. The gift I want from you is to come on the show more often. That's my request.
Well,
and we're not talking at least 8 times a year.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been asked now. Rabbi Joe said he's expecting a gift from me, and now you're wanting a gift from me. I think the gift from me to him will be for him to have him come on 16 times.
Very good.
So that will increase his participation.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, right?
When he introduced me to you, he was so happy about that, and Father Brian, because he's just so crazy with the time, but he does always make the time.
He does.
The next thing I'm going to ask of you. Did you want to say something? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say he does, and he is an incredible leader, not only for the Jewish people in New York, and I could say this because I know he's not on the line right now, but also a wonderful example of building community with other ethnic and faith groups, and they all look to Rabbi Joe, and it really is a blessing to have him as one of our top leaders here in New York.
Absolutely, and I know that about him. He's everywhere. When he tells me, looks in his book to see if he can do a particular day, and where he tells me, I'm at the UN, and the places he tells me where he is, it is kind of extraordinary. Okay, the next thing I'm going to ask of you, and I always ask you to give prayers to our audience, but I'm going to give you a challenge with it today.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I needed
well,
a challenge.
Well, that starts the prayer.
Go ahead. Yeah.
The challenge is you're going to give a universal prayer to our audience, but I specifically want you to include my dear friend, Irene Ashery, 91 years young, who's had some health challenges, and she's the light of my life. She's an extraordinary woman. To mention her and my sister, Marilyn Moss, who's had some challenges as well with pain and sciatica and all of that.
Mm.
So if you can include them specifically, and the rest will be more generic. I appreciate it.
So for Marilyn and Irene, a refuah shlema, may God grant you a speedy and full recovery to alleviate your pain and give you all the positive health that you require. And may it happen speedily.
Wonderful. And to our audience?
And to our audience, I think for everyone, dear God, in these days of winter and darkness, let us all find warmth in the kindness of others and light in the compassion from our fellow neighbor. Let us share the light that we increase and spread blessing of hope to everyone in our community and to the world at large.
You are so wonderful, Rabbi Eric. Really, I am very grateful to you.
Well, thank and also a prayer, by the way, before we go, can't neglect you, and a prayer for you, Joyce, that you should have a full and speedy recovery and that you do not have to deal with any of these medical issues from here on in.
See, I was thinking it, but I was being humble and didn't want to ask you.
Well, I was saving you, you know, the Hebrew phrase, acharon, acharon, chaviv, the last one is the beloved. So there you go.
Thank you. And I know you pray for me, and the rabbi does as well. In fact, was it you 1 year that went to Israel and prayed for me at the wall?
That would have been Joe.
Oh, I know somebody did that.
Yes,
he told me. No,
yeah.
It was someone that was going there, he told. I don't remember which rabbi that was. And, folks, to you, I want to leave you with, make someone happy today. Go out, do a random act of kindness. Celebrate the holidays, the cheer, the goodness. Pay it forward. And we want you to be happy yourself. We want you to invite you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you can do that right after I share my special prayer, which is to may yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And now, with those blessings in place, do sing along with us, dance along with us. Start right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mash, and certainly laugh along with us.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I didn't know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again, as Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.